given to me, and then I give that authority to you. Jesus and his authority is a way that we fulfill the Great Commission through gospel movements. He says, I am always with you. I put that in, all authority in heaven, therefore go. He doesn't say, ask somebody else to go. You go. Right? And surely I am with you always, even to the very end. Doesn't say we're going to have great success right away. Doesn't say it's going to be quick. He just says, go. You have authority to go. Preach in my name. You have the power. You have the authority. He gave us a job, and then he gave us the authority to go do it. I know I've had other jobs where you have the title, but you don't have authority to really do anything. Right? You don't have the budget. You can't really do anything. You just have the title. God's given us the title and the authority to go do it. Right? And we can't outsource this. Teaching them what I've commanded you. One of the kind of trends in churches these days I hear is we outsource it, especially the larger churches. They say, well, for X amount of dollars, we can accomplish this. Why do you need missionaries? We can just write a check. And that's okay. And you're raising $4,800, you're writing a check. And later on, I'll explain, we figured out the budget for how we're going to spend that. But I don't think it's this or that, it's both. So the implications of this, that it isn't just writing a check, and it isn't just sending someone blindly. The Great Commission is far from finished. I know it's easy to get caught up in life here. It's easy to, the president changes and the economy changes and life changes, we get older, kids come, folks die, but the Great Commission is far from finished, and we can't forget that. As a church in America, even though there are more non-Western missionaries, we have to still do our part. It might look different, but God didn't say stop. He didn't say do this for a while and then pass the baton to someone else. Or you focus here and someone's going to focus there. It's right there. We need to send more missionaries, Western and non-Western, absolutely. Training Thai leaders in my context, your other missionaries, the Ameses are here. Folks like Joyce Fleck from Franklin. She kind of warms my heart because I remember high school days when it was John and Karen Ames coming, speaking at my church. And then God chose me. And now as I'm getting older, it's Joyce Fleck. Joyce Fleck grew up in John Ames' church. So there's a thread through everything that's happening. And when we stop for a minute and just get off the merry-go-round of life and think about it, we can see God's been working on this for years and millennium. We're just a small part in it. But we have to keep going. We need to focus on gospel movements, multiplication, not addition. We identify and train leaders. The one gospel movement I know about among the Ibanag people in northern Philippines, that's what happened. It took a Western person to go, show them Jesus, or help them meet Jesus, and then get out of the way. But without that Western person, without that missionary, they never would have known. I really believe that. We need the Holy Spirit. We don't do this in our own power. Right? All authority in heaven. So the authority from heaven's been given to us. That's the Holy Spirit. Many gospel movements start with a healing. I just studied that and knew that. And I know maybe it's growing up here. I get kind of nervous about healings and the supernatural stuff. But I was in Thailand. Myla and I were in Thailand in October. And I really felt spiritual warfare for the first time. I know I'm getting older, my hands aren't as strong, but I tell you, my cell phone jumped out of my hand. We're passing by a spirit box, and it just jumped out. And as I was trying to catch it, it was just running away from me. So the only cell phone I've ever smashed was in Bangkok, Thailand. So spiritual warfare, you hear about it, you read about it, people tell you about it, but until something happens like that, it becomes real, and it became real for me. So now I'm more open to saying, maybe it's a healing, especially in Asia. Maybe they need to see the power of God in a new way. And that's how they experience it. And then looking at the Great Commission and the reality of the authority of Jesus. It isn't in our power. We go with the authority of Jesus. That's why we have the audacity to ask God for a gospel movement in Thailand. It's biblical. That also means we need to do more. We need to do more. We need to send more. The world needs more authorized representatives of Jesus. In the New Testament, the words apostello, an apostle. So I really feel like what you're doing is sending apostles to the world, into Thailand. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament is shalach, to send. It's used 700 times. The secular usage is to go on a journey, to send an authorized representative like an ambassador. You didn't know that you were sending an ambassador to Thailand, and I'm not dressed like an ambassador, but that's what we are. An example of this is Isaiah 6. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? In the Hebrew, shalach. And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. It's all about sending. And sending is personal. So, what does that look like in Thailand? Well, I think I said this last year when I was here. We connect the story of Jesus with the story of the Thai people. Converge workers and local partners are focused on introducing Jesus, discipling new believers, and training leaders who start and strengthen churches. So that's what you have already done through us and through the donation you made last year. I think there's a slide coming up, but we know that it takes about $400 to plant it, to train a church planter. And anyone that wants that figure, we've broken it all down. 3 bottles of water, taxi fare, whatever. It's maybe not that exact, but we can break it down for you what that $400 does. But for $400, we can train a church planter. And our goal this year is to train 300 church planters so that 100 churches get planted. That's an audacious goal. The whole, it would be the Evangelical Association of Thailand wants to plant 5,000 churches in the next 10 years. We're talking about trying to plant 100 churches this year. That's a huge goal. So where do we work? We work in Chiang Rai, Utthredit, Isan, and Bangkok. See, Chiang Rai, Utthredit, Udon Thani, which is Isan region, and then Bangkok. So that's what we're doing. We're focused on really helping those regions, people there meet, know, and follow Jesus. So what have we done last year? What were our wins? Well, we spent the year learning and encouraging people who teach and mentor others to plant churches. There's a long list there. You can read it. Mila and I were in Thailand probably every other month. All of the Asia missionaries for Converge came to Thailand for our meeting. And what a joy that was to hear from folks like Dr. Larry Caldwell and the others that really, again, prove God has given Converge great ambassadors for him. We have families in all 4 of those places. And yeah, we've developed a church planting model. That's really key. That's really a key thing. Because now, it isn't just talk about how to church plant. We have a model for how to do it. And we're doing it. Just last week, 40 more people went through our program. So there are 40 people that have been trained to church plant. And I believe there are 10 who've already started cell groups that will become churches. Tantisuk Pickleball Federation. This is a neat one. Pickleball, I guess, is growing in the U.S. There are only 5 pickleball courts in Bangkok. 22 million people in 5 places to play pickleball. One of them is the Tantisuk English School. So I was minding my own business. I got an email from a guy from a Southern Baptist church in Birmingham, Alabama. He runs a fitness center in their church. It's post-COVID. 5,000 people who don't go to their church, I guess it's a big church, have signed up to exercise at his fitness center. And the senior pastor challenged him, you have this great fitness program. What are you doing for missions? He got online, found the Thailand Initiative website, found out about sports ministry, and 3 weeks later, he was in Bangkok playing pickleball. And then 2 days after that, we met the leaders of pickleball at the Santisuk Center, and they are the national leaders of pickleball in Thailand, right? So Steve Cable, with his wife Nopluck, who have been teaching English for 20 years, have developed these young adults that are now so good in pickleball. One lady is a third-ranked pickleball player in her age division in Asia. So God has given us quite a platform to proclaim his name on a national level through pickleball. So again, 21 years ago, when I was battling bladder cancer, sending money back to build a gym in the Philippines, who would have predicted that I would now be in Bangkok, Thailand, with a guy from Birmingham, Alabama, talking about national level pickleball? Right? And how do we proclaim the name of Jesus on a national level through sports? God is amazing. But it just proves he's given us authority. If we'll go do the work, if we won't outsource it, if we'll get out of our chair and go, or give so that others can go, great things happen, and great things are happening. Wow. So what's coming up for the next year? What are we focused on for the next 12 to 24 months? Well, that's kind of what I've already previewed. Church Planter Weekends. I wish I could say that's the seminar you sponsored. I probably could, and you wouldn't know that I'm lying to you. I really don't know. But that's kind of what it looks like. I mean, it's a classroom setting, and we're training church planters. I mentioned 400 leaders. So this year we've already trained 80. 22 cell groups have begun. I don't know if that means 22 churches. God knows. But we're 6 months into the year, and there are at least 22 that look like they're going well. Seed Startup Centers. You also sponsored that last year. When I was here last year, what I was asking for were 12 different churches to sponsor 1 month of Seed Center. If you come later, Myla will tell you the experience she had running an English festival at the Seed Center in Chiang Rai. Church planting coaches. You've heard me talk about Pastor Paisan before. We need to clone the man. If you remember on the map, he lives north. Okay, sure, thank you. He lives in Chiang Rai. And there's a mountain right through the middle. So he drives 12 hours from Chiang Rai to Udon Thani to do training. He grew up in kind of Khon Kaen, so he has a heart for his hometown in Khon Kaen. Even though he has pastors of church in Chiang Rai, he makes that trip every time we do training. That's not sustainable, folks. It just isn't. So one way that we can help the Thai church is to find one more Pastor Paisan. We can't clone him. I remember the movie growing up. I think it was, I forget it was who was in it. But he was busy at work, and he thought, if I could just clone myself, I could be at home and at work. Remember the movie? Then he cloned himself again. Every time he cloned himself, he was a little bit less of a man. And the last one was just like Fool, right? You guys remember the movie? I'm showing my age. Coming in, it was Casey Kasem's Top 40 from 1983. Yes, and it was Amy Grant. She was an angry young woman waiting for love to come and find a way. Right? Then it was Aerosmith. Jenny didn't have a gun yet. This was before Jenny had her gun. You know, and if we listen to the radio, I'm sure somebody's angry about something today. But it's interesting to me, you know, how that happens. Well, we can't clone ourselves, even though the music of today does kind of feel like it's cloned of the past. But that's another topic for another day. That's what we're going after. Those are just the three things that we're really focused on. And then sports ministry. I thought I was out of that business, and every time I'm out, they keep pulling me in, right? Which is a good thing. And he's one of the products. 2 years ago, he was playing B-team Metro West basketball in Milford, you know, and now he's much, much better. And a lot of that is because of basketball and sports and his attitude toward basketball, and how being in a Christian league led by Christian guys helps young people with the attitude part of sports. So that's what we're going after. Yeah, I know, I don't want to take too much time. I was told Pastor goes over. He might be listening, so I don't want to say anything bad about him, but I promise you that I will get you out early. So what's the role of the local church? What can you do? Funding is more than writing a check. personal when you send someone. And we need you more than ever. Raising up the next generation of leaders. What you're doing with your youth program is what missions will be, what the church will be down the road. The investment that local churches make in their youth program, it's like that garden. You just have to wait, and it grows. It doesn't always grow the way we want. It doesn't always grow as much as we want, but it grows. If you plant tomatoes, you don't get cucumbers. You get tomatoes. So if we're trying to develop Christian leaders, missionaries, people who have a heart for their community here, there, and everywhere, then that's what we need to plant. Or else we're not going to get that. Really staying focused on raising up the next generation. Fund missions differently. I got a note on that. Dipping into different funding streams that we're personally connected with. I think the old model of you give to church, you give to your missions committee, they decide where it's going to go. I have a feeling that's changing. Churches have changed. We know that. I mean, churches, you've changed in the last 5, 10, 20 years. And I think the way we fund missions is different. Being open to that, what are different revenue streams you're connected with that aren't connected to the church that we can connect to missions? And then how do we connect these ambassadors to those different funding streams? I don't have any ideas right now, but I do know that's a topic. And that's something that, look at these pictures. This is from last year. I think some of these folks are still with us. Look at that. And the guy in the middle, that's the pastor at Chapel of the Cross, for those who don't know that. But Bruce and I met with him, I guess it was about a year ago, to talk about how to work together. Chapel, Emmanuel, Trinity. Is there a way for those three churches and those three pastors to work together? And using technology to go. Right? We're zooming into the next generation. Both good and bad. But the more we can use the technology to our advantage, the better that's going to be for you. The more we can you can connect with your missionaries using technology, it's just going to help. Oh, somebody put the flow sheet right in front of my notes. One last thing, I do believe. Oh yeah, saying thank you. What can you do? What can you do personally? Recruit workers. Go. Right? Your church is planting the next generation of leaders, but what about you? Somebody planted you. How are you using your gifts and talents? Missionary care. You treat us very well. We come here, you let us stay, you're going to give us coffee and maybe donuts and feed us. But you do care about us. Pastor Bruce talks to me, maybe not every month, but probably every other. You guys do a great job with missionary care. But what are you doing? Are you communicating with your global workers? If not, start. We're just people with the same problems. And even if it's email, even if it's Zoom call, connect. I mean, that helps you. Join our consortium. Prayer, writing videos. Kind of the whole idea is, serving on a short-term trip. This is the time for you to come. We're unmasked for Jesus in Thailand. You can come. It is safe. There are two other churches in Connecticut. They're talking about sending a group. Last year, four different groups came. We led four different vision trips. If you can come for 2 weeks, if you can come for a month, if you can come for 2 months, whatever you can give, teach English. In Bangkok, at one of our seed centers, teach business skills. Right? Part of that funding missions differently, funding church planting differently, mission as business. And again, that's a whole different ministry. But if you have some expertise, some entrepreneurial experience, come share that. However God's wired you, you can use that for His glory. Be His ambassador. Right? Allow yourself to be Shaliach, right? You be the one who's sent. And support your mission team. I'm sure some of you do. I hope all of you do. But if you don't, that's something you can do right from where you are. Get involved with the youth. Support your mission team. Make it personal. That's what I was kind of saying before with our audacious vision statement. It's up to us. Make it personal. Invest in it. Because we really want to say thank you and encourage you. But if you take nothing else away, the whole idea of know. Begin to know what's going on. When you know, you will grow. And when you grow, you'll care more. I promise you. The more you know about what your church is doing in missions, the more you'll care about it. The more you'll grow. And then we can go and we can do great things for God together. Thank you. 10:19 for those keeping track at home.